We're in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul is talking about the unity of the church. There are seven unities here that he's been speaking about in these verses, especially beginning with verse 4. He says, there is one body, there is one spirit, and there is one hope of our calling. Verse 5, there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And today I'd like us to briefly take a look at this word baptism. There are two types of baptism that Scripture talks to us about, water baptism and spirit baptism. If you go back just a couple of pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about the spiritual baptism that all of us go through at the moment of our salvation. That's verse 13. He says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body are one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, because by one Spirit, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit here, we have all been baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Greeks, whether we are slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So Scripture teaches us that at the moment of our salvation, the Holy Spirit takes us and identifies us with or unites us with the body of Christ. This is also spoken about by Paul, and it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This occurs one time in our life. And that is how we become members of the body of Christ. You don't become a member of the church. You don't become a Christian. You don't become a member of the body of Christ by raising your hand or signing a piece of paper, by becoming a church member, by getting baptized, or any other ceremony. You become a member of the body of Christ when the Holy Spirit unites you with Jesus Christ. It is a spiritual rebirth, what Jesus told to Nicodemus. You have to be born again. And Paul's been writing about these unities of the church, and so he's going to speak about the fact that there is only one baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there is only one time in your life when you become a member of the body of Christ. Some people have this mistaken idea that you can be saved many times. I've met people, and they say, well, have you been born again? Yes. Well, how many times have you been saved? I said, I've been saved one time, because God saved me. And when God saves you, he puts you in the hand, and his hand is in the hand of the Father. And that double layer of protection is there to keep you in the hand of God. But notice the unity is expressed here. And the Holy Spirit is in full unity with the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that is in perfect unity with the plan of God that he had way back before the world was created. When he chose us and he elected us. We've read that in chapters 1 and 2 of Ephesians. Jesus was very clear in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you cannot come to the Father. In other words, you cannot be saved unless you come through me. There is one way, there is one door, there is one road that leads to God. And that is through the substitutional, sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so, to summarize this particular idea, all believers, all Christians, all real, genuine Christians are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ at the moment that we are saved. And we've looked at this in more detail already in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And not only are we united with the body of Christ, not only does the Holy Spirit unite us to Jesus Christ, but he puts a sign, a seal on us. Chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 describes the Holy Spirit puts a seal on us, and that seal, remember the seal on the tomb of Jesus. The Jews were afraid that the disciples would steal the body of Jesus. And so they went to Pilate and they said, put a seal, a Roman seal, across the tomb. It's like today if at a crime scene the police put up their famous yellow tape. And you can't cross that line. It's no trespassing. Okay, some large farmers, they put up an electric fence to keep wild animals and maybe strange people out. And if you touch that wire, it electrocutes you. No trespassing. So when the Jews asked Pilate to put a seal on the tomb of Jesus, they were thinking they could keep Jesus' body in the tomb. But God had a different idea, and he broke the seal. God can break any seal that men make, but no man can break the seal that God the Holy Spirit puts on us. And so we are safely sealed, and Paul goes on to say we are sealed in Philippians unto the day that Jesus takes us home to be with him. And it happens in one of two ways. That happens when we die, or that happens when Jesus comes for his church. And as of right now, all of us are alive. So if Jesus would come right now, we would all be sealed up until this moment when he takes us into his presence. The seal is a guarantee of the person who puts his stamp on there. Did you ever get a certified letter that you had to sign for? There's an official stamp there on the seal. You take the envelope and you lick it and you seal it, and then the post office puts a seal on it. And then if you want the person's signature, they'll put a little card on there and tape it on. And when the mailman delivers it to you, if you're not home and you don't sign for it, he takes the mail back to the post office. And you have to go to the post office and show him your ID and sign it, and then you get the letter, and then you can open the seal. God, the Holy Spirit, has baptized us and sealed us into the body of Christ. In addition to the spiritual baptism that we are united with Christ, we have a physical ceremony, water baptism, that is symbolic. It's a picture. It's a ceremony that shows us what spiritual life in Jesus Christ is all about. When we enter the water, we go in, and the person doing the baptizing will lower you or immerse you. We use this word immerse, погружение. Okay, in Russian, it has the idea of being lowered in. When we go to the cemetery, if you ever watch them bury somebody, they lower the coffin down into the earth. But this word in the English, immerse, and in the Greek, it simply has the idea of getting dressed, putting on. Paul talks about the idea of putting on the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul talks about putting on our white, pure, clean clothes of righteousness. You see, we are immersed into Jesus Christ. You see, physical burial, they bury you and then they cover you with a bunch of dirt. But spiritually, when we get baptized, the picture is you are immersed into Jesus Christ, just like spiritual baptism, you're united, and then you come right back out, you're resurrected. Because physically you have died to the world and to the sin around you, and you're resurrected to live for Jesus Christ. Now, Paul has an interesting statement. He says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Okay, it's reversed. Physically speaking, when we die, there's nothing to gain. You lose it all. But Jesus said you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. Or you can be born again, you can be spiritually immersed into Jesus Christ and be resurrected to live. And interesting, in English and in Russian, we usually say to live for Christ. Жить для Христа. But in the Greek, what it means, it does not mean to live for Jesus, it means to live Jesus. You see, when you are united to the body of Christ, Jesus is the one that's alive. Peter says we are all members of the body of Christ or of his church, and we are all living stones. Okay? But the building is a living building. It is Jesus. The church is symbolic of the body of Jesus Christ. And it's alive. It's not dead. And every one of us has been united with the body of Christ. And so we don't live for Jesus. We live Jesus. And in Russian, it doesn't quite sound right, жить Христос, but that's what it means. It doesn't mean жить для Христа, it means жить Христос. Jesus is our life and our life is Jesus. And there should be no disconnect there. It should be one and the same. And so Paul says there is one baptism. You get saved once. You get united with the living body of Christ. And baptism is a picture of that. You die to your old self, you die to your friends, you die to sin, you die to the things you used to do, and you come out of the water and now you're going to live Jesus Christ in the world. You know, if you are not baptized physically in the water, you can still make it to heaven. That's the good news. The thief on the cross, he didn't have time to get baptized. Jesus didn't give the command to his disciples in Matthew 28 until after his resurrection. Go and teach all the world and all those that believe, baptize them. And the formula is there in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There is a perfect unity in the church, and there's a perfect unity in the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's their plan of salvation, and we are part of it. So the good news is if you haven't been baptized today, you can still make it to heaven. But if you have not been baptized spiritually, you won't make it to heaven. Spiritual baptism, being baptized by the Holy Spirit, is just another word for our salvation. Okay? And so spiritual baptism is pictured. It's symbolically a picture that we practice through water baptism. Through water baptism, we become a part of the local church. We identify publicly through water baptism. Now, from the days of the apostles until today, being baptized in water was a public, daring testimony that I am living for Christ. And it often met with death, especially for New Testament Christians. And all through the 2,000 years of church history, many people have been afraid to get baptized because it meant publicly identifying with Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me publicly, I will not declare your name before my Father. Okay. So if you've been saved and nobody knows about it, God is calling you to get saved. I've known people that have been saved for many years and never been baptized. There are different denominations, especially in Protestantism. Presbyterians, for example, they baptize their children. And so as an adult, they may not baptize people that get saved in their church. That's where we Baptists are teaching differs. We believe that a person is baptized when in an age in his mind he can understand that he is a sinner, that he is lost. He repents of his sin, believes the good news of the gospel when he hears it, and as an adult can make the decision to step into the water and get baptized. Okay? So if you've maybe been saved, there are no secret Christians, but if you're a Christian that nobody else knows about, it's time to step into the water. It's time to symbolically in the water tell the world that you belong to Jesus, that you live for Jesus, that you want to be part of His church right here in Hollywood. Okay? Have you been born again? You know, you can get baptized and not be saved. I've known people that have been baptized, but they haven't been saved. And then they get saved, and then they get baptized the second time. Ideally, you should get baptized one time after you get saved, not before you get saved. You see, you're saved once and you're baptized once. If you haven't been born again, if you haven't been saved, it doesn't matter how long you've been coming to church. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what you've done. God's calling you. And if you have any questions after service, please come up. We'll be happy to explain to you more what God means by being united to His church. May God bless His word. Amen.